Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Are you all doing well? Now, as you know, I'm Max, also known as Matt, and that is, for me, a great joy. It's becoming all things for all men. You know, and to be tell you the truth, guys I play rugby with every week call me a lot worse. So it's just great for us to be here and to be with friends, really. The welcome today has been great, and there's a few familiar faces. You can see Doug and Belinda in the back there, and obviously Keith and Vanolia and a few others. And it's just great for us to be here and to think that you as a church have such a great heart for the gospel. And it's great to see that you've got all the purses up for Joy at Kempton and announcing that you're closing the doors. And I've got good news about that, because although you're not entertaining here with teas and coffees, there'll be free lunch on the day. So come and enjoy a lunch at Joy at Kempton. And we're excited to see what God will do. This is just such a sense of God's presence and direction and hand at work. And if anything, it's just fun to be part of it and to say, yes, we're all in. And I can see Andy nodding away here, because he's part of what is happening there. So, yeah, I think today, I know that you're talking about Acts or in the series of Acts, but Dave asked me to talk about the gospel from Acts, and I thought that's not really, it's great, it'd be wonderful to do that. But actually, just a few weeks ago, I brought this message to my own home church about what is the gospel. And so today I want to hit pause on your series on Acts and talk about the gospel, just a general overview of what is the gospel. And before we do that, I want to share with you something really great that happened in our family recently. I'm married to Joy. This year, in a few months' time, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. And we've got three wonderful children. And because you don't know them and you don't know how noisy and naughty they are, it's great for me to say that they're wonderful. So 7-year-old Elsie, and then 5-year-old Ezra, and then 3-year-old Micah. And Easter last year, we thought we want to change the way we do Easter, because we want to make it more gospel-centric, and we want to share the gospel message and not just eat chocolate and all the other rest of things associated with Easter. So we try to share the gospel with our children in the most child-friendly way. And I know we've got Doug here today, so it's nothing as exciting as what you had last week. But Elsie was about 5 or 6 at the time, and she said, yes, I understand this, and I want to invite Jesus into my life to be my friend. And for the last year, it's just been great to see her grow in her faith. She's reading a Bible. She's got a goal to read through a children's Bible within a year. She's not doing great with that, but she reads it most nights, and we pray. And it's just great to see her hunger and understanding of God growing and developing. And then a few weeks ago, we thought this year, Easter time, let's do the same. So we did pretty much the same thing. We used symbols and colors and whatever we could think of to make the gospel understandable to our children. And then little Ezra, who is 5 now, he gave it some thought. And he's like, yes, I want to invite Jesus into my life. And so we can celebrate that the gospel, you know, even doesn't matter what our age is, whether it's young or old, or whether we've been part of this or on this journey for a long time, or like my children, you know, the gospel is relevant to all of us. I can remember being a little boy myself, probably not much older than Ezra, and my mom shared the gospel with me. And although I'm still young, it's a few decades ago that I've been walking this journey with God and walking this journey of seeing God, just help me grow and develop in my own understanding of Him. And more importantly, the relevance of the gospel in our everyday life all the time. So seeing that Doug and Belinda's here, I'm glad you guys are here, because I thought it wouldn't be fair of me to gossip from Africa in their absence. So can I share a bit of gossip? Is that okay? So last year we were in Ivory Coast in a city called Yamoussoukro, and for the last number of years they've come out and been part of some of the Palau festivals, and they just do a great job. And it was just wonderful to have them. And so we kind of work for anything from 6 months to a year in a city in advance and work with churches. And then we do something called a mission week, which we've got a team of like action sport, BMX guys coming to do all sorts of stunts. And we've got Doug and Belinda coming to work with kids and various different things at different festivals. And I just want to commend them to say, you guys did great, because it was, what, 30-odd degrees or more with humidity. It was really hard conditions. It wasn't the easiest city to work in. And they just kept on going day after day after day. And some days they would come back, you know, red in the face, dripping with sweat, and say, oh, that was just hard work. You know, we've been in a school, and the kids were just really unruly and really difficult. And then other days they come back and say, wow, God just did something amazing. Now, talk about the gospel and all of that. That's important. The thing that really stood out for me about Doug and Belinda, and I think it might be a British thing, was their commitment to a swimming pool. They were completely dedicated. And it's understandable when they've been out in the hot African heat and dust and they've given their all, that you want to enjoy a cool down in the pool. Now, the sad reality was that the hotel where we stayed had a wonderful pool. It was a bright blue, it was huge. Unfortunately, for the whole time, it wasn't open for us to use, and none of us could fathom why. So they came back every day, and the first thing was like, yes, it was good or it was bad, but is the pool open? And it was never open. Now, it wasn't just their commitment to every day, although they probably anticipated the pool to be shut. It's the fact that they brought at least 3 suitcases full of pool toys. You know, they had snorkels and they had goggles and they had blow-up air rings and they had flippers. And it was just their dedication, you know. I take my hat off to you guys to travel all the way to Africa just to enjoy a pool with all your toys. And then when the pool was shut, you know, it was just that genius moment where they thought, we can use this when we talk to the kids, you know, because they can't use it in the pool anyway. So it was...
Some of this is true.
So, yeah, it's just great to be in a church where you guys can understand what we do around the world and to have people that can pray for the Palaus. And I thought to just show you a picture. I'm not sure if you guys have done this, but we want to show a 2-minute video just from this festival to give you a quick summary, just so you know what they've been up to as well. Isn't that just great to see? And it's just a privilege to walk a journey with a city and see everybody from the top political leader to the prisoner and everybody in between have the opportunity to hear the gospel. And it's our joy as the Palau Association and myself, I have been part of organizations all over the world who share the gospel like this. And there are many ways to share the gospel, and this is one of them. But to see people's lives being changed with the gospel. And I'm so excited to say that God is on the move here in England as well. Joy at Kempton is in a few weeks' time, but we're actually talking to cities, a few at the moment in the UK, where they're saying, we want to see God do this here as well. And we know of other organizations doing it as well. So let's keep on praying for the UK, that God will move and, you know, that he will reach this nation like he's reaching nations all over the world. So, yeah, pray for us, and let's see God change this nation. So, what is the gospel? Now, I need to warn you that I've probably said enough that you know my accent is not local. Did anybody pick that up? I'm from South Africa, so being African, I enjoy a bit of interaction. So, the other thing is I like to know that you're still awake. And that you're listening. So a few times I'm going to prompt you to just shout something out or to reply. And I want you to take full confidence to just go free. Is that a deal?
Yeah.
Right. I can see this is going to be fun today. So what is the gospel? Let's go to the first slide. It says, Romans 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. Paul the Apostle writing this, and he was a man dedicated, who gave his whole life, you know, to death for the sake of spreading the gospel. So I thought, in order to kind of take a broad topic and make it narrow, let's stick to one verse this morning and just look at different aspects from that verse. So the first word that stands out for me is obviously the word gospel. So if we go to the next slide, please. Now, I was told, Jeremy, you can pronounce this. You can read Greek. Anybody else? I'm not a Greek scholar, but Google is great. So I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's the Greek word for gospel. And it means good tidings, good message, or good news. And it just struck me that we're living in a world that is absolutely obsessed with news. You know, it's on my phone. I've got a news app or two. It's on social media. It's on the radio. It's on TV. It's on the newspapers. Wherever you go is news. And if, you know, Dave, my colleague, is here. If you, I nearly said a strong word. If you're not wise like Dave, then you get notifications ping up on your phone when there's news headlines as well. So people are obsessed with news. But the thing that strikes me about this is that most of the news that we invite into our life is bad news. You know, let's just take a few headlines from this week. So if we go this week's headlines, the search for kidnapped UK tourists in DR Congo. Do you know about that headline? That's not particularly great news, is it? The next one. Protesters demand new deal for workers. And apparently in London this weekend or a few days ago, there was thousands of people protesting for a new deal for workers, and it's all to do with wages. Round the world cyclists murdered. That's bad news, isn't it? Last one, let's see what that one is. Taser use rethink in face of gang knives. And this is in Wales, where there's so much gangs who's likely to have knives and commit crime against police that they're saying all police officers should be now equipped with tasers. So we are obsessed with news, but most of the news that we invite into our lives is bad news. Now, the basic meaning of the word gospel is news. And it's great to think that the gospel isn't just news. It's not bad news. And we nowadays have this really weird thing called fake news. You know, it's not fake news, but it is good news. So if we go to the next slide, I thought to make this really easy for you today, I'm going to stick to words beginning with M. So the gospel is, can you say it with me? A message, okay? So the gospel is a message. But in Romans 1 verse 16, we see it's the gospel of Christ. This is not just a message about anything or anybody. It's the message about, if we have the next one, our Messiah. See, people say that Jesus, and this is astonishing, that there are world religions who say that Jesus was a messenger. There are religions out there that have no problem to say that he was a prophet. He was sent by God. He was one of God's messengers. But if we don't acknowledge him as the Messiah, we miss the whole point of the message. We miss the reason why the gospel is good news. You see, everything in the Bible, from Genesis chapter 3, when you have Cain and Abel, Genesis chapter 3 verse 21, where the lamb was slain so that Adam and Eve could be clothed. That is a prophetic pointing to the Messiah. Then you look at Cain and Abel and why the one sacrifice was accepted and the other not. And you look at Abraham and Isaac and you look at Noah and you can go through the Bible, Daniel and his friends and the tabernacle and the Day of Atonement and David and all the way through all the prophets and the Psalms. The whole Bible is geared up to tell us about a Messiah. Isaiah 53 is one of the messianic prophecies that just declares that a Messiah is coming. So the message without a Messiah is just news. But the fact that Jesus, this is the gospel of Jesus, it's the gospel of our Messiah. Because John 3 verse 16, let's see if you can remember this one. For God so loved the world. Now, I'm well impressed. You're a great audience today. And you know one verse in the Bible. That is great. Now, for God so loved the world. But let me read you verse 17. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Through Jesus, the world might be saved. See, if he was just a messenger, there would be no salvation. If he was just a prophet, there would be no salvation. But because he is the Messiah, through him, the world can be saved. So we have a message, and we have a Messiah, and then the next one is we have a mission. So if we read again, if we go to the next slide, please. Romans 1 verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now, can I read you a few verses from Luke chapter 4? And this is the story of, well, the story of Jesus. It says, so Jesus came to Nazareth. And if you want to find this in your Bible, it's Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You see, Jesus was on a mission. And he read from Isaiah 61, which again was a well-known messianic prophecy about the coming Messiah. And he said the purpose for the Messiah is to bring liberty to the captives. It is to restore sight to the blind. It is to proclaim the acceptable and the good year of the Lord. You see, Jesus didn't just come to live on earth and to die on the cross and then go back to heaven. He was purposeful and he was on a mission. But the word we're looking at is the power of God. So if we go to the next slide, please, Jeremy. That word means dunamis, might, power, marvelous works, and ability. Now, in our English language, we use that as the root for a few words like dynamic or a really kind of weak translation for dynamite. Now, I remember as a little boy, probably about 10 years old, I was living out in South Africa, and we lived in a very rural community where we lived on a mountain, and we were sort of dependent on our own infrastructure, so we needed to provide our own water. So I can relate a little bit to compassion. Fortunately, we never had to carry any water anywhere. But we had to build a dam, and the part of the problem with building this dam was that there was a granite rock bed that was just completely immovable. That doesn't matter what size hammer you used or what machine you had, you just couldn't move this rock bed at all. And then to my great delight, the decision was made that we're going to use an explosive company to come and drill some holes in the rock and to put dynamite in it and to blow it to smithereens. And I can remember the anticipation as a little boy with my friends. We lived on a mountain, so we were at a safe distance of a few miles, and we could just have this perfect view, like a bird's eye view of what was happening. And we could see all the people with the high-vis jackets, and they were, you know, drilling holes, and there was like a lot of activity. Then they all took shelter, and somebody pressed the button, and then the immense power of the blast. You know, we were a few miles away, but first of all, we saw this massive puff of smoke, and then even a few miles away you could still feel the earth shaking and hear the extreme blast of the dynamite. And the good news is the dam was built, and yeah, the rock didn't survive. But this is just a little picture of God's power called dunamis, and this is the power that Jesus used to fulfill his mission. He came to bring sight to the blind, to set captives free, to bring liberty to the oppressed. This is the mission of Jesus. You know, he came to restore us back to who and what God created us to be. We read in Genesis that we were made to be in God's image and likeness, to have fellowship and union with him. But because of sin that was broken down, and we were starting to live in a broken system, and Jesus said, no, my mission is to use the power of God, the unlimited power of God, to restore you back to union with God, to bring you back into relationship with him. But the amazing thing is, not only does he do that for us, if you read the Gospels and the epistles correctly, you see that he invites us to become part of his mission. If you read the Gospels, you see that he invited people to say, you come and do what I do. Matthew 28, he sends us out to go make disciples. So we can see that not only can we experience God's mission and Jesus' mission, he invites us to be part of it. So if we go to the next slide, please, Jeremy. We've got a message, we've got a Messiah, missions, and the last one is merits. Now, that sounds a bit far-fetched. But if we go to the next slide, please, Jeremy. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to, can you say that word with me? Salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So if we go to the next slide, this is the word in Greek for salvation, soteria, which means welfare, prosperity, deliverance, preservation, salvation, and safety. And that comes from the root word sozo, which means to save, heal, preserve, and rescue. Isn't that amazing to think that when we get saved, it's like you open a floodgate in your life to say, God, with your power, can you bring welfare and prosperity and deliverance, preservation, salvation and safety? Can you save me and heal me, preserve me and rescue me? You know, let's read about, actually, before I go on that train of thought, Psalm 103 is one of my favorite psalms. And we're talking about the merits of the gospel. So I'm just going to read a few verses from Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And these are the benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And I want to encourage you, when you have time, read the rest of that psalm because it will blow your mind. All the benefits and the merits of the gospel and salvation and our walk with God. You see, I have a problem, and there's something that I recognize in the world quite often. And that is that we think of our salvation as a transaction. Not only is that not true, but it really limits what you can experience from God and what you can, your fullness of your relationship you can enjoy with God. See, I have a problem that people say that it's like buying a ticket. You say a prayer and you invite Jesus into your life and then your eternal destiny is secured. You one day when you die, you go to heaven, but nothing on earth really changes. You can continue living the way you used to, and your circumstances will stay the same, and just one day when you die, you go to heaven. That, in my view, is completely wrong. You see, salvation is to experience God's benefits in our life. It's not a transaction that we exchange with him and say, I say this prayer and then one day I go to heaven. The moment we open our life to Jesus, everything changes forever. Because all of a sudden, we have a Messiah who is on a mission using the power of God to say, you need provision? You know, God owns a cattle and 1,000 hills. I'll provide for you. You need healing? Actually, God healed in Old Testament and New Testament. He loves to heal. Of course, God wants to heal us. You need direction? You know, yes, he'll give you direction. You need safety and protection and preservation and all the other things we read, what the word salvation means. Yes, God wants to do that for us. When Jesus died on the cross and he breathed his last breath and he said, it is finished. He said, all of those things are finished. It is paid for. It's done. It is yours. So let's not limit God in our expectation and our thought, thinking process of who and what he is and what he wants to do for us. I want to read just one more verse this morning. And it comes from John chapter 17, verse 3. And it talks about eternal life. It says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You know, we have this notion in our thinking that eternal life starts the moment we die. But actually, eternal life starts today. It already began. And to have the fullness of eternal life is to walk knowing God and Jesus Christ, his Son. That is the invitation that we can enjoy and have enjoy the benefits of in our life today and forevermore. So if we go to the next slide, please. I thought to make your life really easy, I could have saved you the last 20 minutes or 30 minutes of your time that you'll never get back ever again, and just given you this to start with. So I want you to say it really loud. What is the gospel? The gospel is the of a who's on there? Using the power of God to bring us to a place of enjoying the of eternal relationship with Him daily. So I could have just given you that to start with, and yeah, it would have been a lot more shorter. But I think this morning, I'm challenged that, you know, I've been a Christian for 25 or more years. And I know some of you might be in that same place where the value and the power of what the gospel is in our life is worn thin. We've forgotten, you know, we're familiar with the story of Jesus, you know, coming and giving his life and dying on the cross. And we're familiar with all the Bible language and terminology and what the story is about. But our true walk with God is not very alive. You know, maybe there are things in your life that you're trusting God for, and you stop believing because you stop remembering the power of God, or that it's His desire to act on your behalf and to move things on your behalf and to break through on your behalf. So this morning, as I come to a close, I want to just share a verse with you that during the worship, God really impressed on my heart. See if I can find it quick. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And this is what it says. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. And I love the rest of what continues, but just the thought that God always leads us in triumph in Christ really struck me today. And the thought that there are people here that are carrying battles, but actually the victory belongs to God already. And I just felt that, I guess, Dave, you prayed before I started, there'll be a prophetic edge and God speaking. Just that today is a day of victory for you. That today is a day of breakthrough for you. Today is a day of triumph for you. And maybe a few things that I've shared today about the gospel resounded in you. And you just think, yes, I need God to do that for me again. Then I want to encourage you today to invite God again into your life and say, God, do this for me. Break through my life. And if you feel like you want prayer for anything, is it okay if we pray? You know, please feel free. Afterwards, come and me, and I've got my colleague Dave here, and Vanolia and Keith, and anybody that you say is good to pray. We would love to pray with you and just pray that God will break through in your life. But also, maybe you've never received Jesus in your life. Maybe you've never taken the step to say, yes, I want to respond to the gospel. I want to do this and give my life to Him. And I want to experience God's power at work in my life. Then I want to encourage you at the end, come to the front and come and talk to one of us. And we would be delighted to talk with you and to pray with you. So let's pray, and then I'll hand over to you, Dave. Father God, thank you for your unconditional love. Like Andy shared at the beginning, that your grace is so abounding in our lives. It's all because of your grace and your love for us, God. We don't deserve any of this, but we are the grateful recipients. And we just with boldness come to you today and say, Lord, whatever you promise in your word, will you do it in our lives today? Let us experience the fullness of relationship and union with you. Experience the fullness of the power of your gospel in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.